Elite on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yeah. Hey, Lois, what's up? Billy Bang. It's the Chemist, y'all.
My love, do you ever dream of? Have you ever loved someone so much you thought you died? Giving so much of yourself, it seems the only way. Tell me what you want to know. To you, cause you are my love. Do you ever dream of candy coated raindrops? You're the same, my candy rain. My love, did you ever dream? Woo!
Had to let that rock out. Had to let that rock out. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. We are live right here in Floss Scandalous, ready to chop it up, ready to do our thing. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some real good game on today's show. I want everybody to call up at 818-850-5404. Today's topic, we're going to talk about, should women give advice to men about dating, or should men take advice about dating from women? That's today's topic, and I want everybody to call in and chime in on that, and we're going to get deeper into that right after these commercial messages right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And don't forget, everybody, go to TariqElite.com to get all the clothes and gear. That's TariqElite.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to get some real good game by this generation's version of Iceberg Slim? Well, you need to check out my boy Boss Hog Macaroni, also known as Kevin Derrick Gentry. You can get all of his books at Amazon.com. Kevin Derrick Gentry also offers one-on-one coaching and counseling for that good game. You can call him directly at 404-207-5640 or 1-800-235-0851. Or check out his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com and XPimpTellsAll.com. The new album by my man Mr. Biweekly, it's called Mr. Biweekly Volume 1. It's available right now on iTunes, Google Play Store, and Amazon for instant download. It's also available on Spotify and all the other streaming websites. Google Mr. Biweekly and follow him on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud right now. And get the new mixtape called Mr. Biweekly Volume 2. That's going to be available this summer 2014. Beyond Beauty Boutique. You need to let Beyond Beauty Boutique maximize the beauty in you, delivering the best in Malaysian, Brazilian, and Peruvian virgin hair. You can get top quality hair at an affordable price. Get 10% off and free shipping right now at virginhairbundles.org. Again, that's virginhairbundles.org.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, family? We are back right here live on the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to chop up some real good game on today's show. Don't forget, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the hit documentary series Hidden Colors 1 and 2. And go to iTunes, and you can download Hidden Colors 1. You can get that. You can rent it on iTunes, and you can download my movie. My movie is called The Eugenist, the horror film. You can still get that at iTunes. Download that right now. And Hidden Colors 3 will be available, coming out in theaters this June. So I will keep you guys posted on that. Let's get some calls real quick and see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? All right, family. Now, when y'all call up, y'all got to be thorough. I need y'all to call up and be thorough. Hello? Who's calling? Hello? Yeah, this person keeps calling. They're not saying anything. Y'all messing the flow of the show up. I'm trying to keep the show flowing. I'm trying to keep the vibe flowing on the show. We're going to take a couple of calls. Again, like I said, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call in on the show. and I want to get some opinions about the topic we're going to talk about today. The topic today is, should men get advice from women about dating and relationships? What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tariq? This is Busy calling out of Brooklyn.
What's up, Busy? How you doing, fam?
I'm good. One thing I want to shout you out. We look forward to Hidden Color 3. The Brooklyn, Manhattan, the whole city is buzzing about 1 and 2, especially after 12 Years a Slave and all of that publicity you got this weekend.
Yes, indeed, man. Yeah, and I'm going to talk about 12 Years a Slave in a minute, man. But much respect to you, fam. Thanks for the call. All right, who we got on the phone? Okay, the phone calls. Okay, I was going to take some calls, but now I got a flow. I was going to take a lot of calls today, but everybody's hitting me up with the goddamn Boost Mobile prepaids, and people's phones are janky. But I do want to touch on, my man said something about 12 Years a Slave, and 12 Years a Slave won very big at the Oscars this year. It swept at the Oscars this year, and a lot of people are buzzing about that. And a lot of people are talking about the one of the supporting actresses. Her name is Lupita. I can't pronounce her last name that well. Nyong'o, I think that's her last name, but very beautiful sister. And people are just buzzing about how lovely she is, and she's like the rave of Hollywood right now. And a lot of black folks are now co-signing how beautiful she is, and this is very interesting. Black people had to wait on the white co-sign in order to start giving this sister light, because there's always been very attractive chocolate sisters out there, but black folks had to wait until the dominant society gave it the co-sign so they can start co-signing. Now a lot of people are on this whole thing about how fly she is for a dark lady, and there's other sisters who are fly. You've had your Kelly Rowlands, Tika something, you had women like that out there, Gabrielle Union doing their thing. So the chocolate sisters have always been doing their thing, but now that the dominant society is co-signing this sister, now a lot of black folks are really putting extras on it. So that's very interesting. We still have this thing in the black community where we have to get approval from other people to like or dislike something. That's something that cats got to shake. We should have been acknowledging and giving props to the chocolate beauties out there, because there are a lot of them. We don't have to wait on anybody else to give us that cosign. And what's interesting about that, at the Oscar Awards, they keep wheeling out Gabby Sidibe. They're not going to let the sister just shine by herself. They're not going to let just one fly sister take all the shine. They're going to have to offset it a little bit by wheeling Gabby Sidibe out. And I'm not trying to beat up on Gabby Sidibe, but it's just very interesting why they keep wheeling her out at all of these award shows. Gabby Sidibe, she hasn't really had no hot movie out in a long time. On Precious, that was like, what, 5 years ago? So why do they keep insisting on bringing this woman out for every award show other than to secretly clown? So we got to acknowledge what things are. We got to see how the game is played out here. And another thing, they keep bringing out the dude who was in Captain Phillips, the guy who played the Somalian pirate. And I talked about him on my Ustream show Sunday. And there were some Somalian brothers and sisters who got upset with me. I had some fake Negro outrage on Twitter. There was some Somali or Somalian, however you pronounce it, some Somalian brothers and sisters who were a little bit upset because I was clowning the dude from Captain Phillips. Now, for those who don't know, the movie Captain Phillips starred Tom Hanks, and it showed the real life story about this, the Somali pirates and the little fight they had going on over there. And this actor, they cast him as the lead, one of the leads in the movie. Well, basically he was a prop in the movie. And there was a story that came out. I can't think of the guy's name. He has a very difficult name to pronounce, but he played one of the Somalian pirates. And he went to some of the media outlets kind of complaining that he has no money now. He was talking about how Captain Phillips is grossed like $55 million. He was only paid $65,000, and now he's broke. And he's talking about he has to wear secondhand clothes and he has to bum ride from people. And I made some jokes, and it was just jokes, on Ustream about what the fuck did this dude think he was going to do as an actor. He basically played a stereotype. He played a Somalian stereotype. And the joke was, this guy must think he's going to be the next Denzel. And I was talking about the guy's teeth, because the guy's teeth are real janky. And I'm not saying anything too disrespectful. The guy's teeth are a beast. And the guy's walking around the red carpet with them teeth. And when I saw Captain Phillips, I thought all of that shit was like special effects. I'm looking at it. I'm like in the movie theater and I'm looking at this dude's mouth and I'm like, damn, the special effects department was off the chain when they did this motherfucker's makeup. I mean, this shit looks real. And then I saw him on the red carpet smiling with them teeth sticking out. I'm like, god damn, that's that brother's real teeth? So like, I was talking about it and some Somalian cats and females got mad at me. But the thing is, if this dude wants to be a serious actor in Hollywood, he has to get his grill fixed. I mean, I'm mad that y'all didn't tell him. Somebody should have pulled this dude to the side and said, hey, look here, bruh, that grill is not the business. Now, if you want to get some real work out here, you got to really do something about your mouth. You can't get no acting roles with a mouth like that unless you're going to keep playing a Somalian pirate or you're going to play Bullwinkle or some shit like that. But you can't get nothing done with your mouth looking a beast. So they should have gotten mad at themselves for not telling this dude that instead of getting mad at me. That's what that dude needs to hear. That's why he's not getting no acting work. Got to get your grill together. Hell, let's get a little love fun for his mouth. Let's pull some money together and get something done. I'll put some money on it. I'll help get his mouth fixed. That's for real. But right now, that motherfucker looks like a beaver with an S-curl. I'm not trying to say it to disrespect the dude, but, you know, it's tough love. Let's get your mouth together so we can get you some acting roles, and let's not get mad at me. And I find something very interesting about some of these Somalian cats who were kind of mad at me because they were kind of making some real slick marks about you black Americans. I noticed that theme. A lot of these so-called Somali people who are mad at me, they kept making these slick little marks about black Americans, and that's something that we have to address too. Because a lot of Somalian cats and some Ethiopian cats too, a lot of y'all come over here, man, y'all get real funny style with African-American people. Y'all really distance yourselves from African-Americans. I'm not talking about all, because I have a lot of Ethiopian and I have Somalian fans and listeners in the whole nine yards. I'm not saying all, but there are some, and many, a significant amount, who act real funny style to African-American people. We got to acknowledge that. And African Americans, we reach out to all our African brothers and sisters. We don't trip too much. I mean, you got some dickheads out here who try to talk slick. But for the most part, you know, African Americans, we do reach out to our African brothers and sisters. But a lot of Somali cats who come out here, Somalian nationals, you know, you stick to your own community, which is fine. But then there's this disdain or this looking down upon African Americans. Because truth be told, a lot of y'all cab drivers, especially on the East Coast, like in D.C. and New York, who don't be picking up brothers, it'd be a lot of those Somalian cats. Truth be told. A lot of those discriminating-ass cab drivers are straight Somalian and some of them are Ethiopian. Y'all be the main ones passing brothers up. And that's partially because many people who like Somalians and Ethiopians are classified as white. A lot of people don't know that. Y'all look that up if y'all think I'm bullshitting. A lot of Somalians and many Ethiopians are classified on their driver's license as white. So a lot of times when people get that white classification, immediately that mindset switches. That's something to think about. Just think about that. Real heavy stuff there. Let me see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Oh, what's up? This is Eddie from Louisiana.
What's up, Eddie from Louisiana? How you doing, fam?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm surprised I came straight through.
There you go. Hey, what's on your mind?
Hey, well, first off, man, I want to give you a shout-out, man. Brother, ever since I started listening to you, completely changed my life around. I got out of a bad relationship. I ended up getting a better job, man, got on my grind, and really got out there hard because I had a little girl, and I want to be a better father towards her, so I made some tough decisions, but it's been beneficial in the end.
Oh, that's what's up. Now, where you working now?
I work offshore on an oil rig.
Oh, that's cool in the game, man. Good for you, man. And big ups to you taking care of your kid and all that stuff. That's real talk, man.
I have a quick question for you, man.
Go ahead.
I'm a part of this little group on Facebook, and in August, they're taking to Aruba, but the ratio of women going to be like 70-30, man, to brothers. Like, how do I approach it? Because I'll be one of the few dudes on the trip. You know what I'm saying?
Well, dude, you need to get it in because when them women get on that island, I've been to Aruba. Aruba's beautiful, man. When you get there, you know they're gonna want to. They're gonna be ready to mingle and get it in and enjoy the romantic scenery and all that. And if I were you, I'd take advantage of all that, nigga. I'd be running around that beach like SpongeBob in my damn swimming trunks, dropping them shits on their ass every 5 minutes. So you better get it in, dude. So you better have a good time out there, man. You're gonna be like a kid in a candy shop. They're gonna be cooperating. You feel me? So
yeah,
start getting your pull-ups and sit-ups on so you can be getting your, you know, get your little swole on. You dig?
Hey, you know what? I've been already on that. I said, man, you know, I got that Infinity workout on lock right now. I said, I got to get that in.
Nigga, you better tilt, tuck, and tighten before you go out there.
Oh, yeah. And my last question, man, I did not mean to cut you off. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be doing any lectures soon? And I'm being Sacramento at the end of this month. Any hot spots in Sacramento to go to?
That I don't know. I haven't been to Sacramento in a long time, but I do have some lectures coming up, like the University of Northern Colorado. I think they're bringing me out in a couple of weeks. Well, next month, I think. And a couple of other people, we're working out some stuff, and I might be doing something in Atlanta. But I keep you posted, definitely, bro. Thanks for the call, man.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Speaking of Atlanta, man, did y'all hear about the Klan rally that was in Atlanta yesterday? There was a Ku Klux Klan rally in downtown Atlanta. They had it on like Martin Luther King Boulevard downtown, like in front of the courthouse, I think. I think it was at the courthouse, but it was a Klan rally right in downtown Atlanta. And what's interesting is that from what I understand, I may or may not be wrong. I asked some people on Twitter, but no national news channels covered that. I didn't see nothing on CNN or Fox or nothing about this damn Klan rally in downtown Atlanta. And I think that's very significant. There's a Klan rally in Atlanta in 2014. And the only reason we know about it is because people had their camera phones and they posted a few YouTube videos up. And I know they posted something on WorldStar, but there was no national coverage of this. And that's very interesting. Because the thing is, right now, we know that the media is pushing this post-racial great melting pot thing, which we know is a farce because we have all of these cases of black people getting legally killed and lynched in this country with the Trayvons and the Jordan Davises and all that. So we're not post-racial, but that's the image that they're trying to portray. Just like with that Tanning of America show, this whole image of one nation under hip hop and all that stuff. And they straight up buried that story about the damn Klan rally in downtown Atlanta. Y'all look that up. So the thing now, man, is very interesting. What's happening in our culture, a lot of white supremacy and white racism is being hidden, and emphasis is being focused on so-called black intolerance. You notice, whenever they want to talk about intolerance, black people are the ones being thrown under the bus. Like the NFL, they have this whole new thing where they're going to ban the N-word on the field because the black players say it among themselves. So we're looking at them like, really? That's what you want to take a stand on, NFL? Black players have been called nigger by team owners and fans and other teammates for years. Now y'all want to focus on the N-word and ban it? I mean, if you look at sports in general, black athletes have had to endure white supremacy on a level that's unimaginable. Go look at the movie about Jackie Robinson, the movie 42. He had to be called nigga day in and day out. This man was called nigga every day. Hank Aaron, another baseball player. Hank Aaron is in the Guinness Book of World Records for receiving the most death threats for a private citizen. He almost got 1 million letters in death threats because he broke Babe Ruth's home run record. And a lot of white folks didn't like that because Babe Ruth was supposed to be the greatest player and Hank Aaron just shitted on his record. And Babe Ruth wasn't the best player back then because they weren't letting the best play. But it's just very interesting that now, after black folks have been called nigga, coon, every name imaginable, now they're going to ban the word when we say it amongst each other on the field? That's very interesting. That's extremely interesting. And again, this whole intolerance thing that they're putting on black folks, I keep hearing this theme about black folks being homophobic and the black church and all that stuff. And I really get offended by that, because you guys heard the clip I played last week of that pastor in Tennessee. And again, that wasn't rare. There's a lot of pastors around the country who get down like that. There's a lot of pastors around the country who get down, a lot of churches like that. They don't have no kind of tolerance. Black folks are the most tolerant people. Like, you can't go to certain churches in middle America if you're not a certain type. They'll let you know their whole sermon. And God is going to come down and strike down the Jews. God is going to strike down the Negroes. God is going to strike down the Mexicans. God is going to strike down the lesbians and the Democrats. I mean, they are talking crazy in some of these churches. Black church ain't like that, man. You come to the black church, we welcome everybody. We don't give a damn who you are. We welcome white folks, Mexicans, lesbian, gay people. We welcome anybody. We're very tolerant, especially in the black church. Nothing is more tolerant than the black church, because that's our humanity. The black church is all about, you know, you come as you are. You accept people. It's really about acceptance. And black people, we normally practice things in its purest form. And I was looking at the SWV show, and one of the girls was talking about how they were trying to lose weight because, you know, they're R&B singers and they want to go on tour. And they're like, why is it okay to be, you can be overweight in the gospel arena, but you can't be overweight in R&B? And again, the code of conduct with the whole gospel and the church crowd is tolerance. That's our whole thing. It's tolerance. That's why we welcome anybody. You can be literally a freak of nature and you can come to the black church. You can be the damn elephant man and the black church will welcome you. You can be a half a body of a human and a head of a fucking elephant, and they'll welcome you. They got, give honor to God, the First Macedonia Baptist Church. We got a guest speaker tonight. He came here from the zoo. Ladies and gentlemen, give honor to God, to the elephant man. He come up and give his testimony. He be in there like, oh, they treated me dirty. They called me out my name. They called me ugly. They called me Dumbo. They talked about my ears, but my ears kept flapping. They talked about my trunk, but my trunk kept wagging. They tried to kill me for my ivory. But the devil is a liar. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say, yeah. Now when I lift up my trunk, I'm gonna make a joyful noise like... So, you know, we accept everybody, man. So I really hate that narrative that we don't accept people. Black folks, especially the black church, but black people in general, we're the most tolerant people ever. We are the most tolerant people ever. So I really hate that narrative that people like to throw on us. Let me get another call before I really get into the game, because I'm talking about a million things here. What's going on? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq, this is Jonathan calling from Philly. How you doing?
What's up, Jonathan from Philly? How you doing? I just got my hair cut the other day from a Philly cat, man. Philly dudes are some of the best barbers on the planet. Philly dudes are dudes are surgical with them barbers and them clippers, man. What's up with you guys? What makes you guys such good barbers out there, man? They got good barbering schools out there or something?
I don't know, man. I'm from New York. I just moved here a little while ago, but you're right, though.
Yes, indeed. So what's on your mind, man? What's happening with you?
Well, I just had a quick question. I noticed online on social media, like, pictures of white people doing things for black people always goes viral, but not really the other way around. Can you tell me why that is?
Like, well, give me an example. Like, what do you mean?
Like, for example, like, you got, you know, that one brother on the subway was leaning on some white man, and then, you know, that kind of went viral. They're like, oh, he's so nice to let him lean on him like that. You know what I mean? But,
well, you know,
you never see...
Oh, okay. You know, see, anything that supports white supremacy is going to get praise. Anything that supports white supremacy. And one thing about white supremacy is you taking care of the lower race, the Negro, giving charity to the Negro. Just like with the movie 12 Years a Slave, please understand why the movie got so much props. It got props because there was a white savior in the movie. Let's be very clear. You know, black folks, they got their asses whooped, but at the end of the movie, Brad Pitt's character came out of nowhere, delivered a message for the guy who was falsely enslaved and helped him get saved. So Brad Pitt was his white savior. They crowbarred a white savior in that movie, and that's why people in the dominant society love that movie so much. Because there has to be an element of white supremacy there, where black folks are dependent upon the dominant society for something, because that makes it gives them a godlike complex to a certain degree. And I'm gonna talk
makes
about
sense.
That. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that when I go on the road and chop up game. But anyway, thank you for the call, fam. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about that when I do a lecture. I'm trying to plan a lecture down in Atlanta too, because I really want to get down there and talk to the family. And I'm gonna talk about that and chop up game about that. But let's get into today's topic. Today's topic, family, we're talking about: should men get advice from women when it comes to dating? Should men get advice from women when it comes to dating? Should a man take a woman's advice? And I say you gotta be weary. You gotta be weary or leery. Because the thing is, when women give men advice about dating or relationships, women rarely give you advice on how to keep your game tight. Women rarely give a dude advice on how to keep his game tight, how to keep his mouthpiece crisp. You know, women don't give dudes game on that. Women usually give men advice on how to be a better simp. Women generally give dudes advice on how to be a better simp, because what they want to do, they want to train you and they want to train other men to be simps, and the simps that they're going to need later on down the line. See, when women get out of the dating pool, out of the whole clubbing scene, women, they're going to need them a good simp to settle down with. And then when they give you advice, they're giving you advice on how to be a good simp later on. They're always telling you some shit like, well, you got to really open doors, and you got to be considerate, and you got to call a woman and let her know you care. And you got, they be telling you this stuff, and then they'll date a dude themselves at that moment who does none of that shit. So like I say, man, a lot of women's advice to men is basically simp training. That's all it is. It's simp training. And the thing is, when women say, a lot of times when they say they want a nice guy or they want a good guy, see, that's coming from a rational thought process. That's coming from a rational place. That makes sense to say that. You want a guy who's a gentleman and a guy who's polite and this and that. That's a rational frame of mind. But the thing is, women rarely date from a rational perspective. Women date from an emotional paradigm. Women date from an emotional perspective. So a lot of times you generally don't think rationally when it comes to dating. You women think emotionally. And see, that's why it's very hard for women to justify being with the wrong guy. A lot of times you see a woman who has herself together and she's dating some bum dude or some dude who's seemingly on the surface not up to her level, or some guy who may be beneath her, or some guy who's just on some other shit, and you're like, why are you dating him? And she can't even rationalize it. I don't know, it was just something. I don't know. So women can't even articulate why they date certain dudes, and usually they're dating them from an emotional perspective. There's something emotional or emotional that he tapped into. See, the thing is, the only women that'll give a dude some real game, some real good game about dating and relationships is a dude's sister. If a woman is your sister, or even if she's your cousin, she may give you some good dating advice, because your sister will, you know, she sees her brother dating and she knows the game. She's like, hey, look, that girl, no, you got to stop calling her so much. You know, your sister will let you know what's up. And I say your sister or a female cousin. Those are basically the only women that'll do that. Your mom ain't gonna do it. A lot of times, there's some people your mom might, but for the most part, your mom ain't gonna really give up the good game, because see, in order to do that, your mom is gonna have to start talking about some of her little backsliding ways that she was engaging in back in the day before you were born. And your mom don't wanna go there. She wants to have the whole saintly vibe. So, you know, your mom ain't gonna tell you, you know, some real freaky shit that you should do with your lady in the present. You know, your mom ain't gonna give up too much game, because that's gonna expose some of her ratchet behavior from back in the day. But again, it's your sister that's gonna give you some of that good advice. If you have a sister, if you have a sister, and I'm just giving you an example of some of the women that's gonna give you some good dating advice. And the thing is, a lot of women don't want to teach a guy or tell a guy, give guys real advice on dating or relationships, because again, you got to then talk about her emotions. And again, emotions are fickle. Emotions are all over the place. Emotions change like the weather. And the thing is, when a guy taps into a woman's emotional area, when a guy taps into an emotional vibe with a woman, when he gets that emotional connection, see, a lot of times dudes can control the women to a certain degree. When a dude can tap into your emotions, ladies, dudes can control you. And fellas, you can control women to a certain degree. I ain't talking about controller like she's a robot or whatever, but you can control the direction of the relationship to a certain degree. You can control the direction of the relationship, meaning that you can't be dominated. Because in relationships, there's always going to be one person with a slightly upper hand, at least. At least a slightly upper hand. And because that brings somewhat of a level of balance to relationships. Not too much of an upper hand, but just a slight upper hand. There's something that one person in the relationship wants more than the other. Or needs more than the other. So a lot of times, when guys tap into that emotional vibe with women, women can be controlled, and women like that, but they don't like that. It's like it's a gift and a curse. A lot of women like the fact that a dude has tapped into an emotion, but then they hate the fact that they can't easily shake the dude. They can't easily rationalize their actions. They don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. This is why women, they date dudes and they find themselves out at 12 o'clock at night in their car driving by his house spying on niggas. Women do that. Most women do that. Or most women have done that. You women out here listening, some of y'all were driving by a nigga's house last night checking to see if his car was there and his lights were on. That's from an emotional connection. A guy has made an emotional connection with you. When a guy has you doing that, he has the upper hand in the relationship. Whoever is stalking in the relationship, the other person has an upper hand on you. Always remember that. If you're the one stalking, the other person has an upper hand over you. So the thing is, it's all about women training guys to be simps. Women are not going to teach a dude how to control them. People rarely teach other folks how to control them. So this is why you got to be very wary of advice given by women. I've seen a couple of women come out with relationship books and dating books, and I try to see women give advice to men, and all of it is simp training. It's all simp training. Well, you got to be nice. You got to hug your woman. You got to hug her 2 times a day, and then you got to buy her flowers, and don't forget about her birthday, all that shit. And then when women give advice like that, always ask them, where's your dude now who's doing all that? Ask them that. Because if you notice, a lot of women who say that, who give all this dating and relationship advice, every time I look, most of them are single. Have you noticed that? A lot of women who give men relationship advice, many of them are single. I've noticed that all across the board. See, my thing is, if you give advice on something, you got to show that you're getting down like that. Like, you know, I got a fly lady. I always keep the fly ladies, not to brag. But, you know, I practice what I preach. You dig? So when I see other people talk about relationship advice and what you should do to get a man and keep a man and all that, and then you don't have one, that's very interesting. Very interesting. Always think about that. Let me get a couple of more calls before we get up out of here, family. What's going on? Who's calling?
What's up, Tree? This is AB from Orlando.
What's up, AB from Orlando? How you doing, fam?
I'm doing all right, doing all right. I just got a little quick question for you, boss.
What's up? What's on your mind?
Not much. I moved to Orlando from Miami about a year ago, and I got a little shorty that I've been dealing with for a couple of years and whatnot, and I started my own business. I started my own recycling business, so I had to put up some funds to buy trucks and some equipment and shit like that.
Yes.
And I was able to do that by having a shorty move in with me to cut the bills in half so that I could pay for the loans for the business.
Okay.
And, you know, shit popped off, and you know, she did what she did. She went out, you know, got bit by the slut bug.
Uh-oh.
So can I let her stay on the couch or something like that just for the bills? Because, you know, it's about money right now.
Yeah, I understand it's about money, but what's happening, since she's already been caught the slut bug and she's out there dick juggling, what's going to happen is sooner or later, some dudes are going to get in her ear. Okay, brother, your phone, you got to mute your phone, brother. Sound like you're in a fist fight. Your phone is a beast right now. But like
you
I was,
good now?
Yeah, I'm good now. But like I was saying, what's going to happen is that eventually one of these dudes that's dicking her down, he's going to get in her ear. And you need to set it up now so you'll be straight, because you don't know if this woman is with some dude who's going to be like, hey, let's go and take some shit out that nigga's house. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what kind of plotting and planning this woman has going on, or what dude will have some kind of plotting and planning. So whenever women are banging other dudes, that's time for your exit strategy. It ain't no living with that and working with that, because you don't know what kind of dude she's dealing with out there. So you always got to remember that. And it's very easy for dudes to get in these women's heads. You feel me?
I feel you. All right, man. Respect, right, man. I'm going to try to do what I do, because right now it's just about the money.
Yeah, exactly. And you recycle bottles.
I'm only 21, but...
Yeah, you're recycling, and you come home, and she got a bottle up to your neck. Her and a nigga, they done got a broken bottle upside your fucking head, slitting your neck with them bottles. So get up out there and let her go on about her business, man. Thanks for the call. All right, y'all, let me get up out of here. Don't forget, man, if y'all really want that good game, get my book, The Art of Mackin'. That's my first book, bestseller. Still a bestseller. Go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com to get The Art of Mackin'. Get that right now. Go to TariqElite.com to get my clothes, get my gear. The new Tariq Elite shoes are coming next month. The Tariq Elite dress shirts are coming next month. Get all the t-shirts and all that stuff at TariqElite.com. I will holler at you guys, family, on Ustream this Sunday. Y'all have a good one, fam.